Kevin, war. Good God. What is it good for? Beating down the Raiders. Say it again.
You're dead to me this week. I don't know you.
Unfortunately, I do know you this week.
Do your Chiefs want a division? It's not looking like they really want a division. They just want to... is that gonna change this week? Are they actually going to put up a fight?
You know how we've had this conversation every week about make or break game? I do believe this for both of our teams is the make or break.
Yeah, game. It is.
I think whoever loses this game kisses the playoffs goodbye.
Well, unless they get some more help and they start playing like a playoff team. Because I tell you right now, the AFC West, the only team that's looking like a playoff team right now is San Diego, former San Diego. Now LA, Anaheim,
homeless
Chargers. Phillip Rivers is on fire, man. Jeez.
Well, and come on, I have to admit that defensive line with Ingram and Bosa, ooh, that's quite scary.
Yeah, yeah, you're still dead to me. I'm
still dead to me. I do have one question about the LA Chargers, though, Kevin. How do they keep finding these crazy little running backs that just all come out of nowhere? You know, was Danny Woodhead for a while.
Now it's Eckler.
Michael Kidd. Yeah, Eckler, whatever. Where do they come from?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
At this point, I am beyond frustrated with the Kansas City Chiefs. Their defense has just been horrid. You know, last year they lived off of turnovers and being able to, they gave up a ton of yardage. That was a problem all last year, but they're able to stop people from scoring. And this year it's just been the opposite. I really think they're missing Eric Berry. It's something we'll get into the news, but one of their best players has just lost his mind apparently. And Darrelle Revis decided he was still playing for the Jets, even though he was in a Chiefs uniform.
Yeah, well, we'll get all into
Kareem
that.
Hunt going. Yeah, but you know what? This is the end zone. It's week 14. It's Chiefs Raiders round two, so there might be a little animosity this week.
Also, too, we'll get into this a little bit later, but we did want to tease a lot of fantasy teams. Your fantasy leagues might be going into playoffs this week because you know some people don't want to play the last two season or last 2 weeks, but I know like there's standard leagues that are starting to play off this week, so we'll touch on that.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, real quick before I get into the business end of things, you were on a guest appearance on another football podcast. You betrayed me, Kevin.
Yeah, we're actually wishing we had you on there since it was Raiders Chiefs week. Yes. Raider Fans Radio host Sonny and Murph. And Murph, we had on an earlier episode of The End Zone. They invited me on to talk some Raiders, and it was a lot of fun. I appreciate that. They also did their first YouTube video live stream of the podcast, and then they released the audio version of it as well. And I just wanted to thank Sonny and Murph for having me on. I really appreciate it, guys. It was a lot of fun. And it was great because we did the See a Fans mailbag. And of course, you know that Sea of Fans is referenced to a great Raider win a long time ago, and I believe that was against Miami. And it was great because you know they had some really awesome calls come in, and we talked about each of their takes and stuff like that. And I really appreciate those guys having me on. It's always fun to talk Raiders with those guys.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, Murphy, you're a good guy, so, you know, I can't root for you this week. But
I just got to mention, though, if you guys get a chance, though, listen to the beginning of that episode, because their uncle, nicknamed Mosh, I think is his name, he does some really cool intros and promotions for them, because he's got a really good radio voice, and he did a really awesome intro for me and promoting the Fandom Podcast Network and all the shows that we have on the Fandom Podcast Network, and he did a great job with that, and I want to give a special shout out to Uncle Mosh there. So if you have a chance, at least check that out as well, and check out the rest of that episode. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now I have something I'm going to bring up, and I'm going to wait. Let's take care of a little business first. Of course, this is the Fandom Podcast Network. You can find not only the End Zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app on your mobile devices to stream all of our shows. Of course, you can also find us on other podcast catchers, starting off with iTunes, Stitcher, and if you have an Android device, the Google Play app. Just look for Fandom Podcast Network. There you'll find the master feed with all the shows, whether it's here at the End Zone, Culture Clash, Blood of Kings, or whatever else you want to listen to on the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, visit our Facebook page. Give us a like. We try to keep some news going on there. We have some fun there. A lot of interesting things. And of course, if you want like what you hear, you want to give us a little input, you can always email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. And of course, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and on Twitter, at FanPod Network. And of course, I'm Kyle, and on Twitter, you can find me at AKyleW, and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
So, now, before we get too deep into the show, and, you know, we got a little more Raiders Chiefs that's going to be kind of percolating throughout the show this week. But, Kevin, we recently recorded with our fellow co-founder Norman Lau for an episode of our other great Fandom Podcast Network show, Discoville. And when we were previewing the End Zone, the conversation of a bet came up. You know, Norman was trying to get us to do the jersey swap, and I think I mentioned something that I don't think either of us could ever really stomach us to do. But I want to throw this out there to the listeners to see what they think on this. Now, normally when you have a bet of team versus team, the swap is, oh, well, you wear that team. Whoever wins, the loser has to wear that team's jersey. And I don't think Kevin or I could ever get ourselves to wear another team's jersey unless it was like at each other's funerals when we were pallbearers.
Right, right.
However, I made the suggestion, since I'm a Chiefs fan, he's a Raiders fan, what would be worse than that is the loser has to wear the Denver Broncos jersey of shame.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh. How about this, can I just buy you some, like, here's what I would rather do. I would rather, like, if I lost, I'd rather just buy you something, some Chiefs garb, and give it to you that way. That's what I would do.
Well, you know, but I'm throwing this out to the listeners. What do you think should for next season, what should Kevin and I's bet be realistic? Should it be a jersey swap? Should it be by some little crazy thing representing the winning team, or should it be the Denver Broncos jersey of shame?
What would be like the perfect Denver Broncos jersey of shame? Would it be Aqib Talib, or what would it be?
No. I don't think we can recognize that. You know, I can't think of anything worse than having to wear a John Elway jersey. It's a fate worse than death, I tell you.
Okay, all right. We'll look into this for next year then. What do the listeners think? What would be a good bet? So,
So let's wrap up a little week 13. It was a rough one for my Kansas City Chiefs. They came right out of the gate scoring 14 points, getting up 14-0 on the Jets. And then the defense disappeared again, and they let Josh McCown look like an all-pro quarterback.
I'm sorry, which quarterback was this again?
That was Josh McCown.
I'm sorry. Which one again? I'm sorry.
Josh McCown.
Okay. Yeah. What was the conversation we had about Josh McCown?
Wait. Fantasy advice. Who's in the playoffs? Who's not in the playoffs?
How did Jameis Winston do?
He actually had a, even though they lost, he scored quite well in fantasy football. But, you know, there's something I got to address about Kansas City though, with that game. And it's our supposedly stud cornerback, Marcus Peters, who has been getting burned all season long. Amari Cooper ate his lunch back in the game. And he has been one of these guys who he isn't even taking a knee. He's been flat out sitting during the national anthem. He's been protesting, putting his fist up. But he's been doing bonehead play after bonehead play that gives them 15-yard penalties and gets them, has bailed several teams out with his stupid penalties. But what he did this past weekend takes the cake. He picked up a referee-thrown flag and threw it into the fans, then proceeded to walk off the field and into the locker room, assuming he had been thrown out of the game, and he hadn't. And he had to come running back out onto the field after he had missed a couple of plays because he couldn't keep his emotions in check and lost his mind and was stupid. He has since been suspended by Andy Reid for the upcoming Raiders game. And Kevin, as much as people say he's a great player, he deserves this, and he deserves the suspension. He deserves so much more. This is just childish.
Yeah.
He walked off the field abandoning his teammates, basically.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You don't do that. Gosh. I got a question, though. I don't know the rules when it comes to this. I know that when the NFL suspends you, you don't get a paycheck, a game check, right?
Correct.
What about what happens if your coach suspends you?
Well, he's suspended. Technically, he's suspended by the team, so the team has the option. The NFL will back the play, and they lose a paycheck for a week.
All right. I was kind of curious about that. Now, this is something that I was kind of curious about as well. Is he doing this, meaning he as an Andy Reid, so the NFL does not, or is the NFL just going to kind of go along with it and fine him as well?
I think the NFL is going to fine him still. I have never seen a player do something like that before, ever.
Yeah.
I think he's going to at least get a fine from the league. I think the team suspension is probably going to be good enough. And I think it's Andy Reid getting fed up with how the team has been acting of late, and especially Marcus Peters. And I'm hoping it kind of sends a message to the team and maybe gets their heads on straight. I'm going to be honest with you. I know Marcus Peters is an exceptional talent, but we're talking about getting into that Aqib Talib type of thing,
right.
Where it's just complete knucklehead things. I'm to the point where he's still on his rookie contract, so it's a very favorable contract. Trade him. Maybe you can get the first round pick you lost in the Buffalo deal, so you could get Patrick Mahomes or get a few extra draft picks. He's not. No player is worth this hassle. And if you don't trade him, I'm hoping in the offseason you grab his butt and you put him and say enough is enough. And I'm honestly legitimately surprised that the Hunt family has put up with his antics for this long.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, let's look at the rest of week 13 here.
Yeah, how was it for your Raiders, Kevin?
Well, we started off pretty well. The Raiders, now what's interesting is it's almost kind of become a tradition lately where I go to the Raider Club because our games have been later in the day and the Chiefs game is on and the Chiefs are losing. And we're at that point to where, okay, if the Raiders can win this game, we can gain a game. Well, it didn't happen against the Mexico City game. We got our butts whooped in that. Didn't have a chance to gain a game there. And so this has been happening. We're kind of on a little two-game winning streak now. And Oakland was at home against the Giants, who, of course, decided to make the horrible mistake and sit. When I say horrible mistake, I'm not just saying it because I'm a Raiders fan and we were playing the Giants, but this was one of the most stupidest coaching decisions I've ever seen. Bench Eli Manning for Geno Smith. And, of course, now since then, coach has been fired and Eli Manning is going to be starting again. I don't know what was going on here, what this guy was thinking. And, you know, I'm not a Giants fan, but you don't bench your two Super Bowl winning championship, quarterback, even if you're losing, you know, like this, you keep playing, you know, you play to win these games, you know. You know, Herm Edwards said it the best. So it's just one of those things where, like, okay, so then they had Geno Smith starting. And there were some people saying, well, Geno Smith is faster on his feet, blah, blah, blah. Maybe a change. The quarterback thing will, you know, liven these guys up. But, you know, the Raiders jumped out in a pretty cool lead. But total fashion, though, the Raiders were letting him back in. They ended up winning by a touchdown. But was it 24-17, I think it was. But the great thing, though, was that we had beast mode back, and we had a running game going, which was great. Of course, we were out with our two top receivers, of course, without Amari Cooper because he was in concussion protocol, and he also had another injury. And, of course, Crabtree was suspended with a fight with Aqib Talib. So the big question was which Raider receivers were going to kind of step up a lot of people thought it was going to be Jared Cook. That was not the case. He had one of his worst games. But we had Johnny Holton, and we also had our tight end step up as well, and able to scrounge up a victory. And Mr. Beast Mode himself, Marshawn Lynch, had a 50-yard run. And it was kind of funny because, like, when he was getting towards the end zone, I didn't know if he was losing steam or if he was just pulling off the gas. But he got tackled, but he got tackled when he was already in the end zone. But it was funny.
Okay, now I have a question for you, Kevin, because you brought up Jared Cook, who was really involved in the offense, basically starting with the Kansas City game. He had that huge game against Kansas City, and he had been a pretty predominant thing for the last few weeks. And then it's about the last 3 weeks now, he's completely gone off the radar. He's not putting up any stats. They're not throwing his way. What's going on with Jared Cook?
It's not that bad. I mean, he's been okay. He's been getting a couple of crucial first downs and stuff. But yeah, he hasn't been getting the targets that I wish that he would be. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, this last weekend's game was just a bad one. I know he got injured and he was pulled out for a little bit, but then he came back in. But he's got to be like the Gronkowski of the team. we'll get into it, but minus the stupid penalties and stuff. But he needs to be that guy. He needs to be the person that can get that crucial first down and, you know, kind of get in that slot receiver position as well. So. You know, I don't know, but he's the guy that I still think he is the number three receiver behind maybe Cordell Patterson, Cordell Patterson being number four, of course, behind, Amari Cooper and, Crabtree, but, he's the guy they need to go to, man. He's big, he can block too, and, he can make those plays.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring up Gronkowski. So let's talk about the Patriots and Gronkowski's great Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation.
Yeah, which got him suspended.
and rightfully so. But the Kevin, what we talked about way back in week one before Kansas City had beaten the Patriots and stuff is what we feared. It's the Patriots are the monster we all thought they were at the beginning, because they've never fixed whatever's going on with their defense.
Yeah, they're playing lights out football right now. But I got a question about the suspension. I know that both Crabtree and Tlaib both they were originally suspended for two games, then they appealed and it got reduced down to one. I know a lot of players have been trying to do that, and the whole Ezekiel thing just went on and on and on. But, okay, so Gronkowski gets in trouble for this really stupid play that he did, and he apologized for doing this. He gets suspended, but then he does the same thing. He tries to get out of it by doing the plea thing. I don't get this. If you're going to go on and apologize for a stupid thing that you've done, I think Juju Smith did the same thing, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Then why do you appeal, especially a one-game thing? What's the thinking behind it? Is it because they're part of the players' union, and the players' union says you always do it no matter what, so therefore there's some pressure there? But if it's a one-game suspension and you apologize for it, why do you even appeal for it? That nullifies your apology and your remorse.
Well, you just hit it on the head. It's the players' union. Players' union is like, you got to appeal. It's just, sorry, you got to appeal. And I mean, if nothing else, it used to be appealing. Used to be a ploy. Hey, delay the inevitable. But okay, let's hit a couple topics on this. First of all, he appealed. There was no way the NFL was going to honor that appealing. And I'm actually surprised he actually did appeal, because Bill Belichick called him out right there at the opening of the press conference after the game for the stupidity of that play. I think what to Gronk's favor was, he's never really done anything quite this stupid before. I mean, Gronk is Gronk, but he's never gone out to look like he had tried to intentionally hurt another player. But this was just uncalled for. It was not the one game suspension seems fair to me. And you know what? It's against Miami. They really don't need him against Miami. They need him the following week against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But it was just stupidity in the moment. Emotion getting the best of a guy. I've never thought Gronk was a dirty player. In fact, I think if anything, Gronk more has more of a beef with all the times he gets mugged while trying to make some of the catches he makes. And that's not drawing from, right, I mean, it's right. Just, it's right there on the screen. But, you know, the NFL's got to do something about these kind of hits because people, it's been a down year for the NFL. We've had all these crazy injuries, and we're going to get into what happened in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh here in a little bit, but the NFL is cracking down. And in fact, there was a storyline coming that came out here today that the NFL is looking at possibly even ejecting players for targeting.
Right. I think that Gronkowski should have been ejected. When you do stuff like that, you need to immediately be gone.
Yeah, I agree with you. He should have been ejected and then still suspended.
I mean, that was just blatant. I mean, the guy was face down on the ground. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But we had a few other big games this week, too. The Seattle Seahawks stepping up on Sunday Night Football and knocking off the Philadelphia Eagles. Russell Wilson made his case for MVP.
Yeah, he did. And we'll touch on this in fantasy, but they may have a running back again.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Do it for more than one game and then we'll talk.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I'm looking at a lot of the other games here. Now, I got a little side story I want to mention here. The Atlanta Minnesota game. This was a game that Atlanta needed to win. And they did not. And it wasn't like a blowout or anything like this. But here's what I find kind of sad. So one of my friends, Tom, he's a big Raider fan. He's part of our Atlanta Raider Booster Club, and he has been for years. Great guy. The Raider game, obviously, was the late game. But he ended up going to, here in Atlanta, he ended up going to the Atlanta Minnesota game. He'd gotten tickets. He'd gotten these cheap seat nosebleed tickets. And he took some pictures of the stadium from his vantage point, which was great, but there was thousands of empty seats for apparently a sold-out game. Atlanta Falcons fans, I'm calling you out now. You are chumps. I'm sorry. The Raiders will be 1-10, 2-12, and you will see them show up there in Oakland. But you guys are chumps. Fair-weather fans. This is ridiculous.
Well, not now. Wait, Kevin, I have to ask you, though. You said in Oakland they show up, but will they show up in Vegas?
That's not the question right now, and they will, by the way. But right now, Oakland, yes. And you're talking about a crappy stadium, too, that leaks, and there's cracks in it, and it smells, and the bathrooms suck. But, man, the fans show up. You have a brand-new stadium for a very important game for your Falcons to show up. And you do not.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the other NFC South teams because the New Orleans Saints made a statement against the Carolina Panthers.
Not in our house.
Yeah, exactly. Who dat? Who dat? If you would have told me at the beginning of the season the New Orleans Saints were going to be winning games by just running the ball down people's throats.
Oh, man, they've got probably the best 1-2 punch there, wouldn't you say?
Now, Mark Ingram has always been a solid NFL back, but nothing spectacular. When did Mark Ingram, MVP running back, decide to show his face after all this
time? I know. And Alvin Kamara, man, they've got a running team there. It's just crazy. Every NFL team would love to have that type of back.
Drew Brees' arm at his age is going, oh my God, what's going on? Why are we not throwing it 8,000 times a game? But, you know, a couple of other interesting developments, too, from week 13, Kevin. Jimmy Garoppolo just wins football games.
He's very handsome.
Yeah, well, however, what was so great about this game, it was the ultimate revenge game by a kicker.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, Robbie Gould, who was the longtime Chicago Bears kicker, got cut last offseason so the Bears could save a couple million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco scooped him up right away. Garoppolo leads San Francisco on a drive where Robbie Gould, who has already kicked 4 field goals.
Oh, wow.
Kicks his 5th field goal with 3 seconds left to lead the San Francisco 49ers to victory 15-14 over the Chicago Bears.
I bet he's going, suck it, Chicago, for dropping me.
Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna say this. San Francisco has a franchise quarterback because I watched a little of this game on and the Red Zone channel because I was curious to see if Garoppolo, you know, was he a beneficiary of just being on New England last season when he looked really good? This kid can play, Kevin.
All right.
This kid is going to be a legit NFL quarterback.
Good.
So that's something to be excited about. Now, and the LA Rams keep on rolling.
Yep. And well, you know, I wouldn't say rolling, but the Chargers beat Cleveland, right?
Yeah, that's true. But I think there's a very interesting development brewing in the NFL, especially the NFC, Kevin.
What's that?
The Green Bay Packers beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Green Bay Packers currently sit just outside of the playoffs with a game. They are a game behind the Carolina Panthers, who currently, I believe, occupy the sixth wild card, the second wild card, the sixth seed in the NFC. Now, let's take a look at the schedule. This week, the Carolina Panthers play the Minnesota Vikings, the team currently with the number one seed in the NFC. While that is going on...
Wait. What happened to Philadelphia?
They lost to Seattle. Minnesota has a tiebreaker right now over the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, okay. All right.
So let's look at what the Green Bay Packers, led by Brett Hundley, are up to this week. They are playing the Cleveland Browns.
So you're saying easy win for Green Bay here to kind of help in their standings?
So it could work out to where the Green Bay Packers could go into Carolina next week, a game behind the Carolina Panthers, with a chance to beat the Carolina Panthers and hold a tiebreaker over the Carolina Panthers for the final playoff spot.
With Brett Hundley?
Who is playing? No. Who is practicing this week and is the scout team quarterback for the Green Bay Packers this week?
That would be Aaron Rodgers.
Let the movie begin, because you cannot tell me that.
When is he expected?
If everything works out, he is eligible to come off IR after the Cleveland game.
Oh, okay. All right.
Could it be that Discount Double Check will be coming in on his white horse to save the Green Bay Packers and put the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs? And would the rest of the NFC be scared if a Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers works their way into the playoffs?
I'll believe it when I see it, but that is good television right there, that's for sure.
You know the NFL is going, please God, we need one good storyline this season, and what better one than Aaron Rodgers coming to save the day?
Well, let's look into the current standings right now, since we've been touching on that here. I'll cover that here. We got, of course, the AFC East, New England Patriots on top at 10-2. Buffalo Bills there at 6-6 with the Jets and Dolphins tied at 5-7. AFC North, Pittsburgh keeps rolling along. We'll touch on that game with Cincinnati. Pittsburgh's at 10-2. Baltimore still in the mix at 7-5. Cincinnati at 5-7. And Cleveland at 0-12. Do you think they're going to go 0-16?
I think so, yeah. Ugh. And it's a shame too, because those guys are still playing hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They just don't have the talent.
All right. AFC South, Tennessee and Jacksonville tied at 8-4.
Okay, wait, Kevin, real quick. Is that the two most boring teams in the league that are in first place at this point?
I'm sorry, what? What was that? I'm sorry, I dozed off there talking about those two teams. We got Houston at 4-8, behind that with Indianapolis at 3-9. AFC West, who wants it? It's up for grabs. Chiefs don't seem to want it.
We know Denver doesn't want it.
All right, yeah, so everyone except for Denver is tied at 6-6, and I have a question for you real quick, but Denver is out of it at 3-9. Okay, so... looking at the list here, Kansas City's still in first place, listing at 6-6. Chargers 6-6. And now I know Chargers have the tiebreaker with the Raiders, and then the Raiders have the current tiebreaker with the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs beat the Chargers. So is that why the Chiefs are above the Chargers and the Chargers above the Raiders?
Yes, that is why. And also, I believe the Chiefs do have a better overall winning percentage in conference is better than.
Well, let's see. Conference, conference divisional. Let's see. They're at 2-1. Yeah, that's right. And Chargers at 2-2, and Oakland's at 2-2. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why Kansas City's listed in first place right now.
Okay. All right. We'll touch more on that in a bit. For the NFC East, we have Philadelphia at 10-2. Dallas at 6-6, Washington at 5-7, and the Giants at 2-10. NFC North, Minnesota 10-2, Detroit and Green Bay tied at 6-6, and of course the Bears at 3-9. NFC South, New Orleans 9-3, Carolina Panthers at 7-4. Hey Falcons, you're still in the mix at 7-5. Why don't you start showing up to your games? That'd be great. Tampa Bay at 4-8. I bet Tampa Bay had a nice stadium filled there down there.
Actually, they were in Green Bay. So.
Or whatever. They always have a good crew down there anyway. NFC West. Rams at 9-3. Seattle right behind them, 8-4 in the mix. Arizona at 5-7. And San Francisco at 2-10.
Yeah, now, Kevin, there's something I want to bring up. You're giving the Falcons fans grief. The Rams had a bigger attendance than the Falcons, and we are talking about an LA football team.
That's right. They play there at the old Coliseum where the Raiders used to play. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm calling you Falcon fans out there. I know you lost a Super Bowl horribly, but come on, show your pride, man. All right.
You got some power rankings for us, Kevin?
Yes, we do. Here we go. Power rankings. All right. Bringing it up here. Where is it? Where is it? Give me a sec. All right, I had it up here.
Raiders are going down. Raiders are going
okay, here
down.
We go. Here we go.
We're going to break Derek Carr's leg.
I know. Hey. All right. NFL power
flashbacks.
Rankings.
Deja vu.
Patriots at number one, of course, and they should be. And then behind them, Steelers, yes. Remember when that horrible game that Roethlisberger had and he was talking about retirement? Yeah, that was a long time ago. They're at 10-2. Vikings at number 3, Eagles at number 4. All teams are at 10-2 right now, the top 4. Then we got Rams at number 5 at 9-3. Saints at 9-3 at number 6. Panthers at 7-8-4, followed by the Seahawks at 8, also 8-4. Jaguars at 8-4 at number 9. And around out the top 10 is the Falcons. Now we have the Chargers creeping up here. They're at 11, followed by the Titans and Ravens. Raiders are at 16 right now, and your Chiefs are at 19. So that's where we are.
They deserve to be there right now.
How are you feeling about this top 10? You think it's fair?
Yeah, the only thing I might do is I could easily see a swap between the Steelers and Vikings, but other than that, I think it's very fair.
I would bring the Ravens up a little bit more, I think. I
can't put Joe Flacco any higher than that.
I would put them higher than the Titans right now. Titans are at 12, Ravens are at 13. I'm just not feeling the Falcons right now.
Now, Kevin, you do realize that in the first weekend of the playoffs, we could be looking at the fact that we're going to be watching the Titans, the Ravens, and the Jaguars all play on the first weekend of the NFL.
Oh, I know.
Playoff
that's
season. That's just going to be some bad football.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where we are with the power rankings. No big surprises there, I guess. But we need to talk about some news. Starting with the Steelers-Bengals game, man. That was nasty. I know those guys, you know, it really doesn't matter what the records are. Those guys just play hard against each other. But, man, there was some real hard play and some injuries too, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of this Monday night, and we didn't talk about this in the week 13 wrap up because we wanted to address it here in the news. That was a scary football game on Monday night, and not just because there was hard hits. Steelers all-pro linebacker Ryan Shazier had a very scary moment. He went in for a tackle, lowered his head, and he made contact with another player on Cincinnati, and he immediately fell down, rolled over, and was reaching for the small of his back and was in tears. And the whole time he was on the ground, you did not see his legs move.
Yeah. The way I want to just mention too, though, there's good news. Apparently surgery is not needed. And it is mentioned here on the NFL that he has returned to Pittsburgh for treatment. Says here, Steelers linebacker Ryan, is it Shazier? Is that how you say it?
Shazier, yes.
Shazier has returned to Pittsburgh as he continues to be treated for a spinal injury he suffered during Monday's game against the Bengals. I'm not hearing anything about paralysis.
No. Basically, what it looks like has happened is because he has regained movement in all of his extremities, but he had a spinal contusion, and that put when you get a spinal contusion, it can put a lot of pressure on the spinal cord. And what they think happened was the contusion until the swelling from the contusion was putting pressure on his spinal cord, which made him at least temporarily paralyzed while he was in the stadium. But by after overnight and the swelling going down some, he started gaining full feeling in his leg. So it looks like it's for him, it's just going to be healing time. I saw this when it happened, Kevin, and it just took the air out of the stadium. But what happened after this was sickening, because both teams played dirty and both teams were using hits that you would think after something like that happened, you just wouldn't see. In fact, at the time, two players got suspensions coming out of that. David Aikoa, the safety for the Bengals, and Juju Schuster-Smith for the Steelers.
That one was just bad because he lays the guys out and then he taunts him.
Yeah, and he has been suspended for a game. He tried the whole appeal process. It was denied. He is suspended for this week's game. David Aikoa, though, however, got his suspension overturned, which I was a little shocked by because I thought the NFL might use this to make a statement. The NFL has had a rough go of it this year, Kevin, with a lot of different things. And this is that game on Monday night. It was a great game as far as Pittsburgh coming back, getting the win, very dramatic. But that is not the kind of game the NFL wants to see on one of their national spotlight games, especially seeing those players play like that after such a serious injury to Ryan Shazier.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an ugly game. And, you know, poor Cincinnati, too, on that side of the ball. They seem to have the game in hand. And slowly and surely, Ben led his team and were able to win with a field goal.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you about this, Kevin, because another piece of news was, of course, the Giants cleaned house this week, firing both Ben McAdoo and their general manager, Jerry Reese. We know that there's going to be a lot of firings come the end of the season, if not beforehand. I think John Fox is going to be out in Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver doesn't clean house after 1 year of Vance Joseph. But Marvin Lewis, he is the longest tenured coach in the NFL right now. He's been with Cincinnati for almost 13 years. His contract is up at the end of the season. Is it time for a change in Cincinnati?
I think it is. It really is. I know he's a nice guy. He seems to be a good coach. He hasn't won a playoff game yet. And I think it's time for a change for Cincinnati. And maybe he can find some success somewhere else. Marvin Lewis can. But, you know, when you look at the track record, if you're not making it to the big games and winning something there, you got to look at your leadership. And I think change is needed there. I'm really happy that Ben McAdoo got fired. I'm feeling it for the Giants fans. That was just this. That guy just sucks.
Well, are you familiar? You should be familiar with the name Mike Lombardi, right?
Oh, yes.
Kevin. Well, he does a podcast for another podcast network. And he was talking about how he calls him Ben McAdoo. He's like, this guy got hired to be a head coach in the first place is beyond him, because there is nothing about him that screams head coach material.
Right. Yeah. But looks like someone got paid.
I find this incredibly interesting. Of course, we've heard about this big beef, Jerry Jones trying to prevent this from happening. I think it's still personal over the Ezekiel Elliott thing, no matter what Jerry says. But Roger Goodell has signed a 5-year extension that could be worth up to $200 million.
Oh, man. Kevin. Gosh.
Okay, first, a couple of things. The NFL needs change, leadership change. Roger Goodell needs to go. He has too much power. And that's the bottom line. He has way too much power. And no commissioner needs to be being paid $50 million a year.
He's getting like $40 million a year or something crazy like that.
Yeah. It could be upwards to $50 million a year. No other commissioner, I think, makes more than maybe $5 million a year. And I'm sorry. If any commission, to me, the best commissioner in sports right now is the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. That guy just gets it. I mean, you don't, as much as crazy it is, you don't hear the NBA having the kind of problems the NFL is having right now. And I think a lot of it goes back to Roger Goodell. And the owners like him. They made buku bucks while he's been the commissioner. But I think Roger Goodell has very little to do with that. I think they're going to come to regret this. I think, Kevin, as much as I hate to say it, I think the NFL is in for some hard times over the next few years. They've got a lot of problems to deal with, and I don't think they have the man in charge to properly deal with these problems.
I would agree with that. Yeah, definitely. Well, by the way, so, I was looking on here about some what they call NFL playoff clinching scenarios for Week 14. So New England Patriots at Miami Monday night, New England can clinch AFC division with a win or a tie, or a Buffalo loss or a tie. Pittsburgh Steelers versus Baltimore on Sunday night. Pittsburgh can clinch the AFC North with a Pittsburgh win or tie, or Pittsburgh clinches a playoff berth with a Buffalo loss or tie. Jacksonville Jaguars, 8-4 versus Seattle on Sunday. Jacksonville clinches a playoff berth with, check this out, Jacksonville win plus Buffalo lost, Miami loss or tie, plus New York Jets loss or tie, plus L.A. Chargers loss or tie, plus Oakland KC game does not end in a tie.
Does not end in a tie. Wow, okay.
Philadelphia Eagles 10-2 at Los Angeles Rams. Philadelphia clinches NFC East division with a Philadelphia win or tie, a Dallas loss or tie. And the Vikings at 10-2 can clinch with a Minnesota win or tie, Detroit loss or tie, plus Green Bay loss or tie. And then the Rams can do the same with LA Rams plus Detroit loss or tie, Green Bay loss or tie, Dallas loss or tie, Carolina loss, and Atlanta loss. You're falling asleep. Is your brain hurting? No. Want me to stop now?
No. Yeah. This aneurysm I'm having at the moment.
There's like six scenarios. What's funny though is for the New Orleans to clinch a playoff berth, there's like six scenarios, but I'm not going to read them all. I don't want to put you to sleep.
Yeah, then my head hurts. I need some Tylenol, or I got to hit Norman's secret stash.
Let's wait a week or two before we start figuring that part out. So, yeah. What do you say we look to Week 14?
Yeah, because we got some good games.
And did I mention that you're dead to me this week?
I'm speaking to a corpse. So I have no idea what you're... Well, of course, we are biased here at the end zone. So, you know, we don't hide it, and we're fans. And so, you know, Oakland, Kansas City is our big game. And, you know, we can't cover that, you know, honestly and true. But there are several really good games on the docket this week, Kevin, which we've been due for. The one that grabs my attention outside of obviously Kansas City, Oakland is the Rams and Philly.
Yeah, that's a big, that'd be a fun game to watch too. Of course, Minnesota at Carolina. This is interesting too. Jacksonville hosting Seattle.
Yeah. That's going to be quite interesting. I actually think, too, that as much as I hate to say it, Tennessee at Arizona is interesting for possible playoff implications there. And I think Baltimore at Pittsburgh, quite interesting.
Yeah, the Sunday night game, definitely. That's gonna be another heated rivalry one right there. New England at Miami on Monday night, not so much.
Yeah. And of course, let's not forget the Thursday night game of New Orleans and Atlanta.
Yeah. At Atlanta. I bet you there's gonna be more New Orleans fans than Atlanta fans. I know I've been tough on Atlanta, but man, that just pisses me off.
Yeah. Now, I'm actually kind of curious about the Dallas Giants game, because I'm kind of curious to see how the New York Giants players respond after everything that happened this week.
You know, for them, if they can turn things around and beat the Cowboys, that'll say a lot. So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to be. And those are always, you know, hard-fought games anyway. Those are always entertaining, especially Eli coming back.
Yeah. And Kevin, if you would have told me that the Denver Broncos at the beginning of the season would only be a 1-point favorite over the New York Jets. And you know, what? I got to stop for a minute and actually give some credit to Todd Bowles and the coaching staff of the New York Jets. That team was predicted to be maybe worse than what the Cleveland Browns are this season.
Yeah.
And they have been competitive in almost every game they've played.
Yeah.
There's about three games they should have easily could have easily won. And, I mean, that team was, we all thought, was completely talent-deprived, and they have done a fantastic job. And I think they found a couple of legit receivers in Robbie Anderson and Kurtz.
Robbie Anderson has been on fire. And, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so, good call.
So anything up else on here that's really grabbing you there, Kevin?
Well, I pretty much touched on them already. You know, we covered the big ones there. And, of course, the Oakland Raiders against your dead-to-me Chiefs. now, what's interesting is, like, being a Raider fan here, we most of our games seem to be on the late half of them. But it's nice that this one's actually going to be a 1 o'clock game for us Eastern time. So that's going to be kind of cool to be able to watch an earlier game. But yeah, this is a big game, man, between our teams. And this is one of those things for Carr that, you know, it's been tough for him to win against the Chiefs, specifically in Kansas City. But the one thing that I do like is that the Oakland Raider fans, they show up in Kansas City. There's a lot of fans that come around for these games. And also, too, to give Kansas City some credit, they have one of the coolest stadiums, I think, one of those classic-style football stadiums. And I've been told by Oakland fans, you got to see a game in KC. It's just a great venue for it. And it's always a huge rival between Oakland and KC.
Yeah, no, it's always a fun game, and you throw out the records. Kansas City or Oakland could be undefeated, and the other team could have no wins, and it still would be a crazy game. This is just how that
it's works. A statement game for both. I mean, this is where you guys have to come out of your funk and show that you really want to win this division. And on the Raiders side of it, it's like we're trying to put these pieces together, and we've slowly putting this puzzle together, but we're still missing some, and we're hoping that we can find some with a victory there in KC.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know what, Kevin? I think it's time once again for the highlight of the show, our mediocre fantasy football advice. So, how you doing in fantasy? It's playoff time.
Well, in most leagues, yes. Our leagues, though, not yet.
I think our NFL league is, and our ESPN league are kicking into the playoffs.
I thought it was like next week or something. Let's see here. We got 14, 15, 16, 17. I guess so. You're right. Yeah. But what's interesting? Oh, God, man. Okay. So I was playing against my buddy Bob, and I was going into that Monday night game down by, like, I want to say 9 points. But as you know, in that league, I got some interesting scoring where if you basically touch the ball, you get a point. So if you're a running back, and, you know, maybe you're not like if you're an RB2 or 3, you still get some points, which is great. And I had Joe Mixon going into that game.
Oh, I see where this is going.
And so I'm like, all I need is at least 9 touches for a tie and then some more yards, maybe a touchdown to clinch this game. And it was like 209 to 206. I'm at 206 and Mixon goes down with the injury. And I'm like, oh, God. And I lost because of that. So I'm just like, man, gosh, jeez. So you're doing all right in this league, though, right?
Yeah, I knocked off our top team in this league this week, which I'm not going to cry about for many reasons, but the playoffs are here. I am in them, and I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen.
Well, let's see here. Let's look at this. So that's right. Okay, so semifinals here. We've got Kyle's Commandos versus Career Killer, and then we've got Real McCoy and Charlie's Nuts there. All right. That's Bob's team, Real McCoy, and that's Jennifer's team, Charlie's Nuts. And then, Kyle, you are in the... So, yeah, that's right. We are in the playoffs here, man. So this is 2 rounds of playoffs, though, so keep that in mind.
Yeah.
It's not a one and done. You play for 2 weeks here. I'm I'm in the consolidation racket right now. But you know what? I'm going to play to win the game. So, yeah. Actually, I may not be, actually. I think I'm in the suck category right now for that one. All right, let's look at the ESPN league here. I won my game. I don't know if that really helped me, though. So you were
done a long time ago.
Yeah, you're going to make it into the playoffs there. Looks like it. You're in the East League. You're in second place with 8-5, followed by the First Down Order at 9-4. West, we got Jennifer's team, Charlie's Nuts, at 8-5. And there's a two-team tie there for that second position with Team Prayerless and Space Unicorns. Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. How you doing in your other leagues?
With the other leagues, kind of where I'm playoff bound in these, the other leagues I'm missing out. The other leagues this year in my Yahoo league, it has been absolutely frustrating. They literally posted the stat that every game I have lost that team that week had their best game of the season. Like their highest scoring total against me. I have faced that all season long in my Yahoo league.
Right.
In my CBS fantasy league, it's been injuries, it's been suspensions, it's been everything, and it's just it players not coming through like people thought they were. It just was bad juju this year in the CBS league.
Well, it looks like I might squeeze into a playoff here for the my Yahoo league here. I'm at 7-6. So we'll see. Looks like we're waiting for one more spot in there. My Yahoo league seems to be one I'm most successful in here, but, it has not been a great year for fantasy. No. Hence mediocre fantasy football advice.
Well, speaking of that, do we have any pickups on the waiver wire we should be discussing, Kevin?
Yes, we should. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay. So, I want to mention here that one that you should be looking at is, okay, Martavis Bryant, you mentioned last week. I think he's worth a pickup here, especially Juju Dunn. But Mike Smith, running back for Seattle, should be on everyone's...
Is it Mike Smith or is it Mike Davis?
I'm sorry, Mike Davis. That's right. My bad. Mike Davis, running back for Seattle. He looked promising, and I think he's going to definitely get the start. And if you're looking for a slide in spot for a running back there, I think he's your go-to guy there.
Yeah. I got a running back for you, Kevin. I talked about last week, but Peyton Barber, if you didn't pick him up last week, you might be regretting it. He went over for 130 yards against Green Bay and very few carries, but looks to be the man probably the rest of the way for Tampa Bay.
Okay. Good. We got Jonathan Stewart too. He's available in about 38% of Yahoo leagues. And who else we got here? Tyler Lockett, wide receiver for Seattle, available in about 40% of those leagues. Dontrell Inman, wide receiver for Chicago. Dede Westbrook, this guy just jumped on the radar here, wide receiver for Jacksonville.
Yeah, go figure there. Of course, one name I'm looking at too is the return of Aaron Jones into the Green Bay running back mix, which is going to be between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams because Green Bay put Ty Montgomery on IR this week.
Right, yeah. Austin Eckler, if you haven't picked up the running back for the Chargers, he's still available in a lot of leagues. And Mike Wallace, the wide receiver, he seems to be number one in targets for wide receiver now in Baltimore, at least for the last couple of weeks. This guy keeps coming back. Sorry, go ahead.
There's a wide receiver I was looking at, too, is Marquise Goodwin of San Francisco. Now that Garoppolo's in at quarterback, you might want to take a look at him.
Do they have a good rapport going on?
Yeah, they seem to be having a very nice rapport going on.
Okay. This guy I remember picking up early in the season when Johnson went down for Arizona, but he did not pay off well. But now he's on the wire again right now, and that's Kerwin Williams running back for Arizona. And you're Cameron Brate in Tampa Bay there.
Yeah, Cameron's been solid all season. It's just been more of injury things and such there. And then also I'm looking at, too, Marlon Mack still floating out there on some places. And you know what, Kevin? If there's any of those Patriot running backs out there outside of Gillespie that are still available, pick them up.
Is it Gillis? I think it's Gillislee.
Gillislee, yeah.
Yeah. They all seem they all seem to be I don't know about White though. I'm not sold on White. It's definitely I'm not just not sold on him.
Now, however, if you think you're going into the playoffs, a lot of Aaron Rodgers getting picked up this week.
Really?
I have seen him picked up in all of the leagues I am in. People, you know, they might have a good quarterback, but it is Aaron Rodgers, and if he's back, look out, it's discount double check time.
Yeah. Back to New England running backs. The only two I would be concerned with right now is Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Oh, and so, by the way, I saw Kenny Stills available in a lot of leagues. Pick him up too. I think he's definitely a guy to get too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that note, Kevin, do you have any like surprise player standouts or a player standout that you think is just your can't miss for fantasy this week?
You know, it's really hard to say right now. I think Robert Woods is going to come back into the fold from his injury, but I'm not sold on him yet. You know, any surprises? I did pick up Mike Davis. I'm hoping that he can maybe help me, but I don't know if I'm starting him yet because I've got some pretty good in running backs. It's wide receivers where I'm kind of thin at right now, which is why I did pick up Kenny Stills. But any big surprises right now? Not really. What about you?
I wouldn't call it surprises, but I'm going to tell you what I do think the Chiefs Raiders, if you have anybody on either of those teams that plays significant offense, start them because neither one of those defenses is playing real well right now. That could be a very high scoring game on Sunday.
Well, we get Crabtree back. I don't know about Cooper yet though.
Yeah, but I mean, defenses are banged up, or not playing well. Kansas City showed they have some offensive capability coming back a little bit again. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were huge against the Jets. Just their defense didn't show, and anything is shown in the AFC West. Neither KC or the Raiders are playing great defense right now.
Yeah, this is true. Well, here we go, man. Raiders, Chiefs. This is it, man.
what one of us will have completely given up on our season by the next time we record.
I mean, you can't count them out just yet because of we got three teams tied here and, you know, five games left after this weekend. I think it's five games. So
this is week 14. So we only have three games.
Yeah, three games. Sorry, yeah. Wow, God, I can't believe it's ending soon. So, I mean, there's still some football left. We'll see. But this is kind of going to define who really wants it. So we'll see.
Yeah. And in this case, it might be a 0-0 tie, too, because nobody really wants it.
We got to watch out for Chargers.
Yeah.
Because the Raiders play the Chargers on the last weekend in L.A., which should be an extra home game for the Raiders.
Yeah, well, you know, the Chargers are homeless, but that's a whole other story. And with that note, instead of trying to make a play for the end zone this week, Kevin, I'm going to go try to sign a contract extension myself.
I'd love a contract extension. That'd be great. Can I get a $40 million bonus, signing bonus or something?
Yeah, because we all know who the real winner is, and that's the commish, because he hit the ultimate end zone.